As America mourns the loss of perhaps our greatest modern president, the GTA Evangelistic Association salutes the greatness and the goodness of Ronald W. Reagan. His historical accomplishments are legendary, and yet he displayed no vanity. He was elected president with a handful of ideas, principles, convictions, and the ability to translate them into action. He stood firmly for principles he believed in. Ronald Reagan was able to disagree with his rivals and detractors without being disagreeable and without engendering bitterness in his opponents, as was stated by former President George H.W. Bush. After years of pursuing a policy of détente and military parity with the Soviet Union, Reagan instituted a new and simple doctrine: we win, they lose. In his statement, President George W. Bush said President Reagan had the confidence that comes with conviction, the strength that comes with character, the grace that comes with humility, and the humor that comes with wisdom. On June 6th, the day he died, Congressman Henry Hyde said, "A giant left us today. He was a great patriot, a great optimist, and one of the greatest presidents in our history. We should thank God for letting us have him as long as we did." A photograph of Mr. Reagan's Bible, very worn and taped together, shows that he had bracketed and underlined a verse in 2 Chronicles and written in the margin, "A most wonderful verse for the healing of the nations." It is chapter 7, verse 14, and reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land." It is apparent that Ronald Reagan believed in and applied principles higher than mere political ideals or negotiating strategies. He actually displayed those principles known as the fruits of the Spirit and succeeded beyond all expectation. Former Prime Minister of England Margaret Thatcher said Ronald Reagan was a truly great American hero. With the patriotic emotions that surface as we remember Ronald W. Reagan, we bring you Garner Ted Armstrong soon after September 11th. Fervent patriotism, is it the same as godliness?
A wave of fervent patriotism sweeping the United States. I'm certainly a part of it and caught up in it from one standpoint, as I'm sure most of you are. The time when people are singing the national anthem as never before, people standing up and cheering at big football games and at some of the memorial occasions we've witnessed, singing "God Bless America." The president, every time he speaks, "God Bless America." The first lady, "God Bless America." People saying it all the time. I've even got a decal, "Pray for our troops," on the back of my pickup truck. I've got two little flags on my golf cart. I'm displaying my flag. I mean, people are waving the flag, talking about America, pulling together as never before. And all of that is wonderful, and all of that is good. I hail it. I approve of it. But there's also a philosophical question behind it I want to ask, and I want to tell you what I have for you, and that is a brand new brochure entitled "Fervent Patriotism, Is It the Same Thing as Godliness?" And there's a full-length sermon that I delivered just the other day that is quite shocking and I think quite revealing, and has to do with the prophetic scenario of where do we go from here. It shows how the book of Daniel, beginning clear back in the 500s B.C., has prophecies that are being fulfilled right now, shaping up and forming before our startled eyes right now today. It's called the big picture. And how it is that it's so easy for us to get our minds and our eyes off of the big picture and look at the little petty things. And it's talking about business as usual and whether we ought to really get back to business as usual or whether we should take this horrifying attack on America and the subsequent events as a wake-up call from God Almighty Himself, as a window of opportunity for the American people, for you personally, if the others will not seize the opportunity. And you ought to get both the tape and the brand new brochure. Never before offered, brand new, hot off the press. "Fervent Patriotism Is the Same Thing as Godliness," and the big picture tape. Now, the operators will know exactly what you don't need to remember all that. You don't need to write it all down. Just call and let them know that you want what I'm offering on the program today. That's all you need, because they know exactly what it is, and they'll send it to you by return mail free of charge. Free of charge, absolutely no price. We hope and we pray, I hope and I pray, that God will bless America. I probably ought to have my hat. If I had it here, I'd grab it, but I've got a hat that I got for my reunion when I went to the USS Antietam CB-36 reunion, and it's got the various battle ribbons that I was given, when I mustered out of the service, which I'm authorized to wear. And I am quite proud of those. I'm very proud and thankful that I had the opportunity as a young lad from 18 to 22 to serve my country, that I was aboard an aircraft carrier during the Korean War, that I put in my time of service. And you know, I felt so patriotic that in these last weeks I've worn that hat more than practically any other, even when I go shopping to the store. And it's amazing how many coincidental conversations we've entered into. I met a fellow that said, "Were you on the Antietam?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I was on the Iowa." I said, "Of all things, you were. I got pictures of your ship right there in the 7th Fleet when we were operating off of Korea in 1951. So I've met a lot of people as a result of the hat. I'm really saying that to toss in the fact that you know that God's prophets were the most patriotic people you could ever have met. There are scriptures in the Bible where Jeremiah himself said, "Mine eye trickles down just like a stream of waters all day and all night for the terrible things that are about to happen to my people." Ezekiel cried and prayed about what was going to happen to his people. He said, "Why will you die, O Israel? Turn ye from your evil ways and repent, and none of this is going to have to come upon you." I've told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, that sometimes I find my feelings of Americanism, having been born in Oregon and growing up during the days of the pre-World War II and during World War II period, I was 15 when it was over, joined the Navy when I got to be 18, that those feelings of Purple Mountain majesty and waving fields of golden grain and sea to shining sea. And when I think of America, when I think of the Kansas, Nebraska wheat fields and Iowa corn, I think of the Rocky Mountains, I think of the Oregon and Northern California coastline, I think of the wonderful, beautiful national parks like Yosemite and some of the places that I have been all over the country. And I've been in every one of the 50 states and have seen Alaska, seen Hawaii, seen all of the states in the United States, fabulous country. I do not think when I'm having those emotions of swelling, wonderful, emotional patriotism, I do not think then about drug addiction, about sleazy 20-story brownstone walk-up apartments with a pimp or a drug pusher sitting on every door stoop. I don't think about the narc squad. I don't think about child abuse. I don't think about abortion. What is in my mind then is not all of the evils, all the crime, the child abuse, the desertion, abandonment, divorce rate outstripping the marriage rate in many big cities, about 50,000 people dead on our highways as a result of accidents. I don't think about all of those things. I think about what I mentioned earlier, the beauty of our country. What I think it once was during that time of fervent patriotism and nationalistic feelings during World War II, when we all pulled together and when Rosie the Riveter was there helping to build the war machines that her husband and son might have needed, because I grew up in that period. And it's indelibly impressed in my mind. And I'm seeing a little bit of a repetition of that. Never before since December 7th, 1941, have I seen the United States of America as together nationally and patriotically as we are today. But already I'm seeing a few little cracks in that. I'm seeing a few little dissident voices here and there, seeing people begin to come forward and begin to take issue with what the government is doing because of certain travel restrictions, or about displaying the flag, or about singing the national songs, about praying in public. And little by little, you're going to find that those strident voices of dissent will be heard just a little more than they are even today. Some really philosophical questions I want to go through with you. Does God prefer, does Almighty God in heaven above look down and he prefers the way we have it in the United States? Does God prefer a multiracial, multicultural, multilingual, multireligious nation? Is it wrong in God's sight? Would it be ugly and absolutely abhorrent in God's sight for a nation to have only one God? One religion, especially if it were the true God. Is that bad? Is that wrong in God's sight? You know, mixed up in a lot of this patriotic fervor is a sort of a a vaunting of our values, of saying that we are the kind of people who we wish the Afghans were. We would like to export all of our values over to the Afghanis and let them have what we've got. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. I've put some notes down on that because I'm wondering, and I want to wonder aloud with you, would we prefer to see the Afghans to have Hollywood sex and violence movies, miniskirts, gay rights movements, abortion, heavy metal and rap, drug abuse and addiction, and teach preschoolers about Adam and Steve? Should we export nihilism, hedonism, and anti-God evolution and agnosticism? Wouldn't it be a wonderful, better country over there if they have all of these pimps and prostitutes pushing drugs in some of the sleazy parts of our big cities? If they have a divorce rate outstripping the marriage rate? If they had live-in arrangements, child abuse, pornography, and satanic cults? Would they be a better country? Because you see, as I was saying earlier, when I think of America the Beautiful, America the Great, God bless America, I think of all the good things. I think of all the wonderful things. I think of my teenage years. I think of my childhood when I spent the summers on a farm up in Oregon. I don't think about all the sleaze. I don't think of all of the things that are wrong with America. I think instead of all the things that are right, all the things that are good and beautiful, and I wish that it could all be that way. Now back to the theological and the philosophical question. Why, if God wants us to be multicultural, multilingual, multiracial, multi-religious, did God Almighty call His people out of Egypt and constitute them as a theocracy under Moses and give them a choice and set before them what He called a covenant? He proposed the covenant. You know, the Old Testament says, I became an husband unto them. Those are God's words, not mine. It is an analogy of God's, where He, by analogy, presents Himself as the young suitor who would come to a bride who would say, I'll tell you what, I'm in love with you, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're everything I ever wanted. I will propose to you that I will become your husband. I will protect you. I will provide for you. I will be loyal and faithful to you. I will make you the most wonderful husband that anybody could ever ask for. You'll have a wonderful home. And he began to present all of these things. Let me just go to Deuteronomy 28 and show you what God proposed and what he said to those people at that time. When he was making a proposition, if you will be mine, I will be faithful to you, you be faithful to me, and we will join together. And God showed that the old covenant was like a marriage agreement. Here's what he proposed. Chapter 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass that if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal your God to do his commandments, which I command you this day. Now, wait a minute. What's wrong with the commandments? Let's pause for a moment and say, the first two of them say this. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So what is God saying? Back to my third page again. I wrote some of this down and I want to tell you about it. No, you shall not have Allah or Vishnu, Dagon, Buddha, or Shinto. You cannot have Zeus or Thor or Freya or Horus or Isis and Osiris. You can't have Baal or even Zoroaster or Nostradamus. And you can't have seers, wizards, witches, or necromancers. You can't have even kings or generals or presidents that you worship. You can't have double ovens, homes, vacations, automobiles, toys like boats and airplanes. And you can't have huge bank accounts and physical sensations and even yourselves to worship. You can only have God Almighty, the Creator. And He alone is worthy of your worship. You can't have any of these other gods. You can't have any of these other religions. You can't have all these perverted, twisted forms of religion. You can't open up your gates and say, come on in, world, come on in, Hindus, all these other people, whatever, worship God by the name of whatever you want to call Him, and we'll just be a wonderful country because that's the stuff of what we are. We're just that way. Does God like that? Does God approve of that? Is what God wants in the United States? Is it what God established with Israel? No. He established one nation under God, but He proposed to them and they accepted the proposition and there was an agreement which is called the covenant, and then the people later on, well, they broke the covenant. When I come back, I'll show you the incredible proposition, the proposal God made to those people and how beautiful it was, and what little really was required of them in order to reap the benefits and the blessings that God Himself commanded. I'll be right back.
The U.S. war against terror has fostered a wave of patriotism not seen among Americans for two generations. Fervent patriotism. Is it the same as godliness? Call now for your free copy of this new brochure and this up-to-the-minute tape on world affairs and Bible prophecy, The Big Picture by Garner Ted Armstrong. They're yours free when you call 903-561-7070.
I hasten to remind you that none of this makes any sense at all if there is no God. I've said that time and again. I always begin at that point. Is God alive? Is there a God? Does He exist? Can you prove it? Can you prove it scientifically? The answer is yes, I can and I have, to myself and millions of others over decades of my life. Does God exist? Yes. Is the Bible His Word? Yes. He was able to control the minds of men and to give them His Word and to cause these documents, many of which are preserved from some of the very first families that ever walked the earth after creation. And only if you really understand and believe right down to the ground that Almighty God does exist, does any of this make any difference at all? Because if God does not exist, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And it's like this: the guy said when he's charging in war, what do you want to do, live forever? We only live once, a lot of people say. That's not true, but they say it. Well, I am looking at this from the point of view of the Creator God, who gives you every breath of air you breathe, the Creator who designed the entire universe, the solar system, this earth, and all life upon it. He came to His own people after all of these centuries of slavery. A nation born in slavery called them out of Egypt by showing His power and His might through the plagues that broke the back of the world's greatest economy, the world's greatest military power of that time. Constituted them as a nation under God, called of God, preserved and protected of God, fed and nourished of God, and brought into their own homeland of God, who paved the way for them, and presented to them while they're wandering in the wilderness, while they're at the foot of Mount Sinai, the following wonderful proposition. Said, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe unto all His commandments, which I command you this day, that the Eternal thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. You will be number one. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you will hearken to the voice of the Eternal your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Now, if I think about Bedford, Stuyvesant, and Haight-Ashbury, if I think about some of the cities, like, you know, you can name any one of them you want, the certain sleazy areas, and we've all been there and seen them perhaps, like in St. Louis and Chicago and in so many of the big eastern cities of the United States that aren't as lovely as they might have been at some time. All these blessings shall come upon you. Blessed shall you be in the city. Now, I could go for the next 4 hours about cities being seething hotbeds of crime, drug abuse, violence, divorce, desertion, abandonment, pornography, blah, 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 but why bother? I'll just read through the blessings right quickly and let you see what God proposed. Blessed shall you be in the field, farmers, crops. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. I'm tempted to say, what about infant mortality? What about children like the thalidomide babies of the 1960s? What about children who are born deformed, etc., etc., and so much of that. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store, that is, the national reserves. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Every day, you get up, you go to work, you're under God's blessing. You come in, you go to bed, you're under God's blessing. The Eternal shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before you, before your face. That has happened in much of our history, but it didn't in Vietnam. And it came to a stalemate. We accomplished almost nothing in Korea. But at least in the Gulf War, and certainly in World War II, that certainly did obtain. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Eternal will command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses, and in all that you set your hand unto, and He shall bless you in the land which the Eternal your God gives thee. Now that is a wonderful series of blessings, almost beyond your ability to take it in. But then He goes on and says this, But if you will not, oh, he goes on to say, he'll open his good treasure and bring you rain in due season, and it says the plowman will overtake the reaper. The fellow that is going through to harvest the field will barely get out of the way, the guy trying to plow it to put in the seed for the next crop. But later he says, if you will not listen to the voice of the Eternal your God, verse 15, to do all his commandments, every one of which were written and handed down for our great good, all you've got to do is to think, parenthetically, let me throw this in, taking the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, if every child honored his father and his mother, and if they were together as a unit, as a family, and there were no divorce, desertions, live-ins, gay so-called relationships, etc., if there were only the God-ordained, God-designed, God-commanded role of father and mother, of husband and wife, you can't believe what a powerful, wonderful nation we would be, the blessings that would come upon us. You know, what is wrong with if you say, I do, do it. Don't say, I do, and later on say, I don't. Say, I do. And God's word says, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. When I perform a wedding, I say, this marriage, therefore, by authority of the Supreme Court of Heaven, is inexorably binding until broken by death. Now, you can look at any one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. What if there were no crime in the United States? No violence, no theft, no pilfering, no white-collar crime, no insider trading. None of the Lincoln Savings outfits and things like that. I mean, unbelievable billions of dollars that go down the drain to organizations like the Mafia and so many other people that are the drug lords and so on, that are reaping a golden harvest of the United States because of various appetites of people who deviate from the straight and narrow that Almighty God points out. Well, let me go on with this because it is lengthy and I won't have time if I don't hurry. If you will not hearken, cursed shall you be in the city. And we are. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you go in, and cursed shall you be when you come out. The Eternal will send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you be destroyed, and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doing. So here it was, on the one hand, call it hazards and benefits, call it blessings and cursings. And I want to turn to Jeremiah, the second chapter, verse 1. Jeremiah, by the way, cried because of what he saw coming upon his people at that time. And his prophecies are very instructive for us today, and many of them actually apply to us today. Moreover, the word of the Eternal came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Eternal, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your espousals, the time when they said, all that thou hast commanded us, we will do, referring clear back to the old commandment that was given, to the old covenant, rather, that was given and was confirmed at the foot of Mount Sinai, when you went after me in the wilderness in a land not sown, when they were his people in Sinai, when he called them out and made them into a theocracy, one nation and one God. Not one nation of multiculturalism. They were all of the house of Israel, 13 tribes in all, the two half-tribes of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. A lot of people don't know that. Israel was holiness unto the Eternal, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, upon the enemies who would dare to attack God's people. Hear you the word of the Eternal, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. That include Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Zebulun, Dan, Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin, Issachar, and so on. And a lot of people know nothing about that. They think that all of Israel are Jews, and they are not. Only one tribe out of 13 were Jews. All right, that's another subject. Thus says the Eternal, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and walked after vanity and become vain? Good question, isn't it? What is wrong with Almighty God? What has he done that is wrong? What iniquity, lawlessness, sin have people discovered in God? Why can't God just say, that's right, Henry or George or Sam, you just live the way you'd like and that'll be fine with me. A lot of people have that attitude. They say, just you and me, Lord. And they have their own peculiar personal relationship, or at least so they think. Isn't going to get the job done. Isn't true, because God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And as high as the heavens are removed from the earth, so much higher are my thoughts than your thoughts, says the Eternal. I want to take another quick time out and let you look at what I have for you, and I'll be right back.
The U.S. war against terror has fostered a wave of patriotism not seen among Americans for two generations. Fervent patriotism. Is it the same as godliness? Call now for your free copy of this new brochure and this up-to-the-minute tape on world affairs and Bible prophecy, The Big Picture by Garner Ted Armstrong. They're yours free when you call 903-561-7070.
Whoever you are, whatever your loyalties, whatever your concept of God, you would like to have that imposed upon Afghanistan. I would like to see this book imposed upon Afghanistan. But on the other hand, if it were, I'd be fearful for our future, because they would rise up and become the greatest nation on the face of the earth. It says over in the second chapter of Jeremiah, quote, in verse 7, I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof, but when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Eternal? They don't say that today. Where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Ten Commandments? They don't even know that John, the first chapter, shows clearly that Jesus Christ of the New Testament is the God of the Old Testament. That ought to be one of the first things that people learn about Jesus Christ. But they don't know it, they won't preach it, don't quote it, won't say it, and don't believe it. The priest did not say, where is the Eternal? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. He said in verse 11, as a nation changed their gods, have the Chinese been faithless to Buddha? Are they multicultural everywhere? I mean, are there blonde Japanese running around, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. I ask at the beginning, does God like the United States just the way it is? Is this wave of fervent, wonderful patriotism, and I do hail it, and I like it. I mean, I love my country. But is it godliness, and is it exactly what God wants to see? Or is there something more we ought to be looking at? Get this material. Fervent patriotism, is it the same thing as godliness? And also this tape, The Big Picture. A lot of people forget the big picture, the overview, and think about little things. 903-561-7070, and I'll see you right here in 1 week.
The U.S. war against terror has fostered a wave of patriotism not seen among Americans for two generations. Fervent patriotism. Is it the same as godliness? Call now for your free copy of this new brochure and this up-to-the-minute tape on world affairs and